Well, with me in the Wellington studio now to discuss this is a panel of young whippersnappers, 25-year-old Māori political commentator Morgan Godfrey, also with us 33-year-old political blogger and director at Pico Consulting Stephanie Rogers, and 41-year-old Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative. Kia ora, good morning to you all.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks very much for coming in. Eric, if I can start with you, how do you think about this one? You pleased?
I think it's a great start. Any changes to superannuation would always have to have a long lead time to them so that people could adjust their savings behaviors, that they'd be prepared for retirement. It is a necessary change if we're looking forward on the forecasts by 2060. Without changes, New Zealand's super is going to rise from about 4.3% of GDP to almost 8%. If that happens, then you either need substantial increases in taxes or cuts to other kinds of services that or perhaps inequitable because super is disproportionately going to asset-rich people. I think it's only a good start, though. We're just going to have this fight again in 20 or 30 years' time with rising life expectancy unless we put in an automatic mechanism to ratchet the age of eligibility to changes in life expectancy. And I think we should also be looking at CPI indexing New Zealand super rather than linking it to wage growth. Doing that has a lot more impact than just increasing the age of eligibility. Mm. So you can shave it down to about 4% of GDP if you combine it with an increase to age 67 and CPI linking by 2060.
2040, though, is a lot further down the track than many countries are looking at bringing this in. For places like Australia and America and stuff, it's in the 2020s. So this actually is pushing the problem out.
Well, we should have started this a decade ago or sooner. That said, there's been some really good work at Treasury by economists like John Creedy and Chris Ball looking at the value of delay. When you're not quite sure what productivity growth is going to be like or income growth is going to be like, you might want to hold off a little bit on making big changes because there's some value in the option. That said, I still would have liked this to have happened 10 years ago.
Okay. Morgan, if I can come to you, is this a sign of the times?
I suppose in some ways it is. I know a lot of young people who are resigned to a change who aren't really engaged in the issue, but you know, I don't buy Bill English's lines. I don't buy the idea that super at 65 is unaffordable, because that the whole affordability argument is a claim on priorities. It's not a truth claim. You know, the privilege of being a government is a privilege of choice. So Bill English could have continued contributions to the Cullen Fund, and we would have been $20 billion better off today. He could have implemented a comprehensive capital gains tax instead of the watered down changes he did make. He could have foregone the tax cuts he gave to wealthy earners in the first term of his government, but he did not. So, you know, this is about priorities. It's not about the truth. We can afford super.
Okay, can afford it at 65. Stephanie, what do you think?
I think it's a very interesting decision that the government's made, because it's simultaneously pretty weak. As you say, it doesn't kick in until 2040. So what kind of a policy is that? But it's also sending a very strong message. And I don't think it's about affordability. I think the debate needs to be about what's the right thing to do. How do we look after people at the end of their lives? How do we look after people at the beginning of their lives? What kind of government do we want, and what do we think government is for? I think government is there to take care of people, and we shouldn't get caught up in these arguments quibbling about the numbers. As we've heard this morning, this government can't even decide how many social housing places it has, because the numbers can be added up any number of different ways. And we should be looking at what is right to do by people at the end of their working lives, or if they haven't been able to be in work because they've been raising a family or they've been ill, what do we do to support them as they get older?
Eric, what is government there for? Is this something that government should be making a decision on?
Well, superannuation, if you think about it, is a good insurance policy, really against outliving your savings. People should be saving for their own retirement. This is government policy that came in under Labor with KiwiSaver as well. This has been longstanding. And super should be there if life expectancy has outpaced your ability to save. And we need to also make sure that we're not having such large transfers to a group that are disproportionately wealthy. I don't like the idea of asset testing on these, because while there's asset testing and means testing on all kinds of benefits, but the distortions that you get when you apply that to everybody's retirement savings wind up being huge compared to just simply increasing the age of eligibility and putting in sort of a transitional benefit for those who aren't able to work after the age of 65 before the new age of eligibility.
Mm. People, though, may look at people who are perhaps in their view disproportionately wealthy and say, well, they're the baby boomers and they're not going to be covered by this at all, are they?
Well, I wish that we had started this 10 years ago with the changes then to be implemented 10 years from now, rather than only starting now to start in 2037.
So did National drop the ball on this one then?
I think National put itself in a corner in its 2008 election. I am very glad that Bill English has changed that. I wish that there were better cross-party support on this, taking the view that Labour had in the last election of sensible changes to superannuation so that we don't have cost blowouts in the future. And regardless of your views on the size, what the appropriate size of government is, this kind of spending program is just poorly targeted if you really want to improve outcomes for the worst off.
And Morgan, back to you on that issue. Labour appearing in the last 3 years to essentially have flip-flopped on this, and indeed also on the capital gains tax that you brought up just a minute ago there. So how exactly is Labour handling all of this, and is that something that's responsible?
It's quite an amusing reversal, I thought. But I think Labour's kind of settled on the right position, actually. National has taken up the wrong position here. And, you know, Bill English will know that the first principle of our democracy is that a current parliament cannot bind a future parliament. And he will know that if the next government is a Labour-Green government, that his changes to super are dead, they're gone.
Possibly, even if it's a National government, the changes could yet be made, because this isn't coming in until after the election, and potentially a deal could be done there if National were to be the biggest party.
Quite possibly. And what I think this is about is Bill English trying to build or reinforce that narrative about him as, you know, a prudent economic manager, as someone who's sensible, a very good technocrat. But I actually think it works the other way, because you can say, like I mentioned before, about his discontinued contributions to the Cullen Fund, leaving us $20 billion worse off than we otherwise would have been if he had continued contributions. So he actually looks irresponsible, and he looks like a very bad technocrat.
How is it, do you think, that other parties are handling all of this, particularly the Māori Party, and also New Zealand First, actually?
I think the Māori Party was quite right coming out last night and saying that this would have a racist impact on Māori, because Māori would be working longer, yet enjoying a shorter retirement than non-Māori. So I think, you know, they're not going to win support there. They're not going to win support with the Greens. They won't win support with New Zealand First. They won't win support with Peter Dunne, which leaves the National Party in act. So it's kind of, you know, it's going to go nowhere, I think.
Is there room for manoeuvre, Stephanie, do you think, with particularly New Zealand First on this, particularly because of that doubling from 10 to 20 years of the amount of time you have to spend in New Zealand working as an immigrant?
I think that New Zealand First, Winston Peters specifically, is always going to focus more on the tub-thumping grand statements of principle necessarily than the policy detail. So I don't think this will be a goer with Winston Peters at all, and thus not with New Zealand First. But I kind of wanted to address what I think is a bit of almost unpleasant Calvinism about what Eric has been saying, which is the idea that superannuation shouldn't be there to cover for people who are just too irresponsible to save. What we need to look at is, in the same way that our current policy or increasing the age has racist impacts because of the lower life expectancy of Māori and Pacifica, we should look at the sexist impact. Women tend to live longer than men, yet women take longer to pay off student loans. They don't get equal pay. Women still carry the majority of the burden of child rearing, which means less time in the workforce saving. Women often have more caring responsibilities for elderly relatives as well. So this idea that, well, you should have just saved harder seems to be just a bit mean. And again, we should do what's right and just take care of everyone in their old age.
Just before we wrap it up, politically, Stephanie, how do you think this is going to play?
Well, I don't think it's going down well with voters. I don't think it's going down well with most commentators, and I don't think it's going down well with any party besides ACT, which is basically a small appendix of the National Party. So I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. It's certainly not going to last the distance.
Eric, last words from you.
I think it's a necessary change. It'll be interesting to see what happens in post-election negotiations. Winston talks a good game about protecting the current elderly. I'm not so sure what his views are on elderly voters come 2040 or people about my age today. And I think most people around my age are sensibly planning their retirements, expecting that New Zealand Super will be changed.
And Morgan, politically, what's the fallout?
I think Stephanie is right, and it isn't playing well with most New Zealanders, and it's not playing well with most commentators, and I think it's not going to go anywhere in the long term.
Appreciate your time, all of you. Thank you very much for coming into the studio. That's our panel of young whippersnappers, they were described as. Morgan Godfrey, Māori political commentator, also with us, Stephanie Rogers, political blogger and director at Pico Consulting. And from the New Zealand Initiative, Eric Crampton.